together once again this morning here to endeavor to worship our one and only true and living God. This morning, if you'd like to be turning, we would open our Bible and we trust to be able to open the scriptures in Genesis chapter 24. We'll probably begin reading here with verse 63 in just a moment. I certainly desire and ask that you would pray much as we go forward. It is truly a sweet hour of prayer. The whole time as we begin the divine worship service with the songs, begin singing through the end of the service, it is a sweet hour of prayer, of looking to the Lord and begging of His grace and His mercy. If the Lord would help us this morning, the subject matter upon my heart is biblical meditation. Biblical meditation. You know, if you ask people out here in the world today about meditation, you would get a lot of probably real strange answers. You wouldn't get a whole lot of Bible answers concerning this. You would get a whole lot of New World Order, New Age movement, and Eastern mythology, and all of these different type things that people think of when you speak of meditation. But this morning, I would like for us to, if the Lord would help us to focus our mind and attention from a biblical standpoint. And that's all we want with anything. Amen. We want the biblical standpoint. We want the Word of God's perspective, the real principle and teaching upon any subject matter based upon what thus saith the Lord. That's what we're after. That's our desire. And it should be with everything, with every question, with every subject matter, what does the Lord say? What has He given to us? What instructions? What has He laid down in His Word? Here, I'm going to read these verses, Lord willing, here in Genesis chapter 24, starting with verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the even tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, I'd like for you to notice once again in verse 63 these particular words. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Verse 62 tells us that Isaac had came from a certain place, and no doubt he had come back to around where home was there. And then the scripture tells us that he went out to meditate in the field at the even time. Now Isaac had a lot on his mind. You know, we have a lot upon our minds, and sometimes more particularly from time to time. Isaac had a couple of situations going on, to say the very least. We understand from these verses that we read that this is after the time of Sarah's death. We don't know exactly how long has transpired. It may just be a matter of months, or it could be up to maybe 3 years. We don't know exactly here. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know that Sarah died when she was 127 years old. We know that she conceived and gave birth unto Isaac when she was around 90 years old. So Isaac is some 37 years there when his mother dies, but he has not married yet. But we understand, as the scripture tells us before this, how that Abraham has taken his servant. And this is the old servant Eleazar, and he calls the servant to place his hand under Abraham's thigh and to swear to him concerning Isaac that he would not take one of the wives of the land of Canaan and where they dwelt, but Eleazar would go back to Mesopotamia, and that he would seek out among Abraham's people, and of course Sarah's people also, for we know that Abraham and Sarah were half brother and sister, but nevertheless he would go back to Mesopotamia and there to choose a wife for Isaac. And so this is what had been taking place. And no doubt Isaac had been tending to the family business and taking care of things while Eleazar had gone off under the providence of God to seek out a wife for Isaac. Certainly Isaac knew this. Certainly Isaac knew what was going on. I believe he had been praying. I believe he had been seeking the Lord. I believe he had been meditating. The Bible here teaches us that he went out to meditate. Meditate is to think upon, to ponder upon, and it also involves praying. This is biblical meditation. Amen. To ponder. To commune with your own heart, to look inward, to reflect inward, is to meditate under the fear of the Lord and in prayer and in thanksgiving upon the Lord. It is a great thing, amen, to go out and to view the creation of God and there to meditate, to think upon, to ponder, amen, to cause yourself, by God's grace and mercy, to be able to realize all the greatness of your Creator. And so Isaac has things on his heart and mind. He has the death of his mother upon his mind. The Bible tells us in verse 67 of this, that he loved her, talking about Rebekah. He took her into his mother's tent. Now his mother's dead, amen, but he takes her into his mother's tent. Isaac loved his mother. And no doubt Isaac has grieved much since the loss of his mother. So he has the death of his mother. He has the grieving of Sarah, his mother, upon his mind. It has been that which has troubled him ever since she died. And no doubt this is probably one of the reasons. And of course, as I said, he's up around 37 or so years old now, and getting on in age. But no doubt Abraham sees him grieving for his mother and hurries up. And somebody said, well, he hadn't got in too big of a hurry. Isaac is some 37 years old or so. But you see, Abraham was focused that he would not take a wife of the Canaanites. This is why when it was kind of coming to a head, if you please, it was coming to the point Abraham realized that Isaac needed a wife desperately. He needed a wife to comfort him. He needed a wife, amen, there to step into that place of comfort that his mother had been unto him. And so Abraham has sent the servants back to Mesopotamia to seek out a wife for him. So Isaac, he has, you know, this is not a new thing. I don't believe it's a new thing for Isaac to meditate. I have no doubt that Isaac had probably gone into the field a million times at the eventide. Notice that of what it says, that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. The evening tide, if you please. In other words, just before the going down of the sun, just before he is going to retire, amen, to his place where he is going to sleep, he goes out in the field to ponder, to think, to pray, amen, to meditate. I believe this is what Jesus had in mind when he said for us to enter into our secret closet, amen, to pray, amen, to meditate, to commune with our heart. David talked about communing with your heart upon your bed. So, at many different times, we are to commune with our heart. We're to ponder, to think, to look upon our seat of affection. Oh, many times, you know, the scriptures lead us to understand that it's God that tries the heart, that it's God that can look in and can see. Oh, and God does, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows, and God sees all, but it under his watch care and under the Lord's influence and blessing, we also need to take an inventory. That's what you can do in this four mat of understanding biblical meditation. And it is for us to take an inventory of our seat of affection, to take an inventory of that which is within. Oh, and to consider our ways. How are our ways doing? How are our ways before the Lord? Oh, and if we don't ever ponder them, if we don't ever think upon them, if we don't ever look at them, now you've got to do it with an honest eye. So therefore, you're going to have the help of the Lord, because I tell you, our natural Adamic nature, that seed of affection, which comes from there, it's desperately wicked. Amen. Above all things, and who can know it? Oh, so we understand that part also from that perspective. But I'm talking about the child of grace, the child of God. That God will give the strength and the help to. That we can look inward, that we can ponder, that we can think upon, that we can commune with. And ask God to help us to see ourselves. Oh, and what he sees, and as God sees. Oh, to search our hearts to see if there be any wicked way, see if there be any secret sin, see if there be something of a stumbling block there, see if there be something of an offense there between us and our God. Oh, that would hinder our fellowship with the Lord. So I believe that this is very important. Like I said, I don't believe that this was the first time for Isaac, but it was, but no doubt it was a practice that he practiced. And we see at this particular time as he went out in the field in the late afternoon, to meditate, to think upon, to ponder, to meditate, to pray unto God. I believe that biblical meditation has in it the aspect of praying. Amen. I believe that in that realm of meditation is prayer. Not only thinking and pondering and considering. Oh, the Bible, I tell you, it's too much for us to cover certainly in 1 hour or one setting this morning. This is a vast subject matter, but maybe it'll whet your appetite. Maybe it'll stir your interest, and you will go further with it and look and develop thoughts upon this. Oh, but this is very important. It's very important. occasion of reflection and thinking and pondering and praying and looking in and turning and looking inward with an honest eye. Amen. By the help and the grace of God. Now you'll have to draw upon the strength of the Lord. You'll have to draw upon the grace of God. You'll have to draw upon the help of the Lord to look inward with an honest eye. Amen. You can't do it in the old flesh. The flesh is deceitful. It'll deceive you. Oh, yes. And so it does. Therefore, we have to watch out for that. We have to be on guard for that. All this old flesh nature, it'll try to con you into thinking, oh, everything's just fine. You're all right just in your rat race and in your rushing and going about. Oh, but I tell you, we need, amen, to walk, amen, a little bit in the field. Now, I'm speaking symbolically. It may be literally you may need to walk in the field a little bit or whatever your situation would be. Amen. But where you can and where your opportunity is, amen, to think and to ponder, and to reflect and to look inward and to pray, and to have that communion, amen, with God and to commune with your seed of affection and to look inward. So Isaac is in this, of doing this at this particular occasion. And so now the old servant is coming back and the caravan, the camels and so forth. And he has Rebekah. And God has blessed him in the way. The Lord has led him to the house of his master's brethren. The Lord has prospered him. The old servant went in the way of prayer. Oh yes, he was praying. He was praying to the God of his master Abraham. This is why James, when he speaks about works, and showing forth faith by works, that he speaks of Abraham and of Abraham being justified by works. How, not before God, but before such as this old servant, Eleazar. Amen. For it's proof positive that Abraham was justified by his actions, by his works. Abraham was declared to be. Didn't justify him. But he was declared to be a just man in the sight of Eleazar. I tell you what, if it wasn't so, Eleazar wouldn't have prayed, amen, unto God. And would not have, I'm not saying he wouldn't have prayed to God, but he wouldn't have said these words, amen. He wouldn't have spoken of God in the sense of the God of my master Abraham. Oh, but he saw where Abraham had lived the life. Abraham had stood the test. Abraham had walked in a way of integrity. Boy, he had the respect of this old servant that was born in his house. And so Eleazar prayed unto the God of Abraham. Now, brothers and sisters, there can be no greater respect. There can be no greater words uttered than for if you had a servant like this that had been in your house from his birth, amen, when he would be away from home and going on the journey and on the business that you had sent him on, for him to pray unto God and to say that he's praying unto the God of Abraham. Amen. You know, I believe Eleazar, I believe he had a relationship with God. I believe he was a child of God. Oh, and it wasn't saying that God wasn't his God. Yes, God was his God. Amen. But he's speaking favorably of Abraham. He is speaking a very favorable light that Abraham was in. And this is why, amen, that the scripture, this is the context in which James gives that Abraham, amen, was justified by works. Amen. I tell you, Abraham was justified by blood. Amen. By the shed blood of Christ. You say, preacher, it wasn't shed yet, but it was just as good as so, and God had already appropriated it. Amen. So he's justified for heaven and immortal glory by blood. Amen. And he's justified by faith. Amen. Within his own heart. And then he's justified by works in the eyes of those round about him. And surely he was justified by works in the sight of that old servant, that he would mention those words amen, of the God of his master Abraham. And truly, he had no more than prayed before he entered in the city. He was praying and asking God to bless him and help him. And no more than he had lifted up his eyes from prayer, amen, he began to see it unfolding in God. Amen. Bless Rebecca to be there and to do the things that the old servant had prayed about watering the old servant and watering his animals. And of course, he asked, you know, who's her kinfolks? And it was just right. Amen. It was Abraham's house of his master's brethren. And so she took him home with her and introduced him to the family, in other words. And he told him, Abraham, how the Lord had blessed him and how he had a son. And how the Lord had blessed Isaac also. And how that he had come to find the wife. And he rehearsed of what he had said to the Lord. And so that they agreed in this, but said, stay with us a few days. 10 days, stay with us. But Eleazar, no, if I found favor in your sight, I've got to be up and about. We need to be leaving here as soon as we can, particularly on the tomorrow. And they said, well, we'll ask the damsel, we'll ask her. And she agreed to it. I tell you, God was in that arrangement. Amen. God was blessing. God was working on both ends. Amen. God was blessing with Rebecca and helped her to know she was about to leave her home with a man she didn't know and go to a place she didn't know and marry a man she didn't know. Amen. But the Lord was in the arrangements, and the Lord was directing and helping and blessing. And so it was that while, amen, Isaac's in the field and he's meditating and he's thinking about his mother. Amen, he's missing his mother. And he's praying over the situation of this bride that Eleazar's went after for him. Oh, these are great things. Things, oh, of a great important person that had been in his past, his mother. Amen, for some 37 years. And then for now, the woman that's going to be his future. Oh, his wife. And I believe it was very appropriate for him, amen, to take her into his mother's tent. For there the old and the new come together. There the past and the future, amen, come together. It is very appropriate. And he consummated that marriage. And consummated that relationship. They became husband and wife. And God blessed them together. But oh, what a great picture we have set forth here unto us, and what a great principle we have set forth unto us. Oh, that concerning the very grieving of the loss of his mother, and the anticipation of the one that Eleazar has went after. Amen. He is in the field walking and praying and thinking and pondering and reflecting and no doubt seeing the great creation of God. Amen. And worshiping and adoring and drawing closer to his creator. Oh, when we see the things of creation, when we see the beauties, when we see, amen, the beautiful landscapes, the mountains, and the bodies of waters, and the sky, and all of these things, that our attention, that our thoughts should go toward the creator, amen, creator God. Oh, that in the beginning, God, amen, created the heaven and the earth, and God took a blank canvas, amen, of the earth. Oh, and as Genesis describes it and teaches us about those days, those 6 days, and God painted it in, God filling it in, and then God put it all together, God bringing, amen, that into existence that came out of nothing, God speaking, God saying, let there be, and there was, amen. He did it by his mighty power, amen, because he is Almighty God. So Isaac is considering and thinking upon these things, pondering them. Now, let's look at another man that is about to assume the responsibility of leading a nation. Moses is dead. And Joshua has come on the scene. Well, he's on the scene, but he's coming on the scene in the role of leader as Moses was. He is going to take the children of Israel on into the land of Canaan. And he's already been in an ordinance, ordained. Moses, before all the people, has laid his hands upon Joshua, signifying that God had called Joshua unto. Moses is recognizing that and is esteeming Joshua in the eyes of the people that they should follow him. Amen. For Moses dies there upon the mountain, and the Bible says that God buried him. Now, here in Joshua chapter 1, when the Lord is speaking to Joshua after Moses is dead, he says in verse 2, God says to Joshua, because you see, Joshua never saw the dead body of Moses. No one ever saw the dead body of Moses. He died and God buried him. There wasn't an obituary posted and sent out. So I want you to understand that. Think about that. What God said in verse 2? Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, he's not coming down off this mountain. You've already had your ordination service. He's already laid hands on you before he ever went up to that mountain. You're already set up for this position. It's time for you to fulfill it. It's time for you to step into that role. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. For the sake of time, let's skip on down. I invite you to read these other verses later. God tells him in verse 6 to be strong and be of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And God tells him in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Right there is the key to prosper in our way. As we walk in the ways of the Lord, to prosper. He said that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What is the key? Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. Don't go right of it. Don't go left of it. Amen. But stay right with. Amen. This law. Stay right with the commandments of the Lord. Notice in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In this book of the law, in what Moses has written, as Moses has written Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, as these things are recorded, you have these things. You have the parchments. You have what God has said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. You have what God has said to do and what God has said not to do. Now listen, you don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You are to live by it day and night. You are to think upon it. You are to meditate. You are to ponder. You are to consider. You're to pray over it. Pray for the Lord to help you and to give you the strength and to help you to crucify, to put to death on a continuous basis that old man. Crucify him daily. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul spoke of when this is in the context, when he said, I die daily. Amen. He put himself to death daily. He put that old flesh to death daily. Amen. He's speaking symbolically. Amen. But what's he saying? He separates from it. Amen. No, you can't get rid of it. It's you. You're the whole. You're the sum. Amen. But diminish the influence Diminish the influence. Don't walk. Don't be motivated. Don't be stirred by the carnal nature. I know we do. I know it happens. I know it happens from time to time. And it happens with me way more than I want it to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't keep things at the forefront, if we don't keep things front and center, if we're not reminded, if we don't remind ourselves, if we don't delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, if we don't meditate on it day and night, we'll veer to the right, we'll veer to the left, we'll miss the mark. And of course we do. But it don't have anything to do with heaven and immortal glory. Jesus hit the mark for that, aren't you glad? Amen. But it has all to do with discipleship. It has all to do with fellowship. Amen. God help us. So this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. To observe. You're only going to observe. You're only going to see when you're pondering, when you're thinking upon, when you are considering, when you are looking at, amen, this word, when you're thinking upon it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. If you do this, you'll make your way prosperous. Yes, it's under God's blessings, under God's direction. Amen. But you see, this is the double side. We know and we understand God's sovereignty. And on the other side, we see the responsibility of man. Amen. Certainly, it is discipleship. It wasn't a new concept in the New Testament. Amen. I want to tell you, these folks that observed to do God's law and to follow after the Lord God Almighty, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these old patriarchs, they were disciples of God. Amen. They were in the context, in the definition of a follower, of a learner of God. Amen. And so this very principle, this concept just comes over into the New Testament, and we have the translated Greek word from the Greek, amen, in the English word of discipleship, of disciple, a disciple. Amen. The followers of Christ are disciples of Christ, learners of Christ. So, observe to do. We're not just to be a hearer of the word, but we're to be a doer of the work of the word. Amen. We're to be a doer of the work. Amen. The word teaches us the work of discipleship. That is a work. Amen. Belief is a work. Amen. The first initial work, though, is the work of God. It is the work of God that you believe. In other words, it's the work of God in regeneration that you're able to believe. But then it is an exercise. Amen. Meditation. Amen. Which belief would come down under that this umbrella that we're speaking of. It is a mental exercise. Meditation is an exercise from within. It is a mental exercise. It is a spiritual exercise. I'm talking about a biblical definition. Amen, of meditation. It is a biblical, it is a spiritual exercise. It is a work. Amen, a work. So we're to be a doer of the work. This is what the New Testament teaches us. Here, it uses the language and says that you observe to do it. You observe to do, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God is teaching. This is God speaking to Joshua. God himself is telling Joshua, if you want to have good success, if you're going to have good success, if you're going to be a successful leader, if you're going to be successful in this role, then you're going to have to do what I'm telling you to do. If you will do according to all that is written in this book of the law, I will prosper you in your way. You will have good success. You'll have good success. There is blessings in the doing. Amen. Amen. There's blessings in the doing. Just like in feet washing, happy are you if you do it. Amen. The happiness is in the doing, not just the knowing about it. Amen. Not just the knowing about it. And so the blessing of the prosperous way is not just in knowing of the scriptures, but in doing them, in observing to do, meditating to do it, pondering upon it, considering to do it. We need to hurriedly move along. I want to turn to Psalm. The first Psalm. Very familiar. Let's just get verse 1, put it in the context. But verse 2 is the subject. You Bible readers know this. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in the ways of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, counterwise. But, opposite. But his delight. Talking about this blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. In God's law, in God's word, do we meditate day and night. This is a blessed state. This is the child of God that's in a blessed state from the sense of regeneration, and then in a blessed state from doing. Not walking as the fools of the world. Not walking with the unwise counsel. Not walking to miss the mark to the left or to the right. Not lining up or associating ourselves with the wicked, but keeping our reflection, keeping our pondering, our considerations upon God and upon His Word. This is spiritual meditation, but His delight, His joy, His focus, His enthusiasm, His zeal. Amen. Delight. Oh, exceedingly joyful. His delight. You know, we don't use that word delight in our vocabulary today a whole lot, but if you should use it, you might use it in the sense of something. If you say something was very delightful, I would take a very much positive thinking when you using that word, that if something was delightful, in a very much positive, enjoyable experience, or whatever you're using to voice and to illustrate whatever it is that you're speaking about. But his delight, his joy, his enthusiasm, his energy is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We just flip the page over to the fourth Psalm. We gave reference to this expression a few moments ago. But I invite you to read the verses above this, the verses below it. But in verse 4 he said, stand in awe. I tell you, when you meditate on the Lord, talking about a biblical understanding of meditation, the biblical defining is a mental exercise, a spiritual exercise, drawn from the inward man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We understand that. You'll be able to stand in awe of God. You know, it was only until Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up that he had a life-changing experience. It was a turning point. It wasn't regeneration. No, that's not what we're talking about. But it was a turning point in his life. You know, Isaiah, his whole looking was outward. All he was seeing in his thoughts and in his ponderings was the faults and failures of others. But you know, when he saw the Lord, it caused him to really see himself in the proper way. And you know, that's the only way it's going to be when we see the Lord. And we're going to see him through his word. We're going to see him through meditating upon him. We're going to see him by an eye of faith in our thoughts, in our ponderings, amen, in our praying as he blesses us. Amen, to see him. But Isaiah saw him. He saw him as his train filled the temple. And the presence of the Lord was so strong as a thick smoke cloud. And the experience that he had. And after he saw that, what did he say? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, it helped him, amen, to see inward and to see himself and see where he stood. And only until we see the Lord, you know, this is why the Apostle Paul warns us so much about not comparing ourselves with others. I'm not your standard. You're not my standard. Now, we're to be examples, and we should be examples of the Word of God. Amen. To one another. Amen. But what I'm doing or not doing, it's not your standard. Your standard is the Bible. It's God's Word. That's what you're looking to. It don't matter if everybody else is missing the mark. It don't matter if everyone else is went off crazy. Amen. You've got to stay with the book. Amen. You've got to observe to do whatsoever's in here and not bear to the right or bear, amen, to the left. Amen. The one that you're comparing to is the Scripture. Amen. To our great example, to our great standard, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we'll never measure up to that. He has done that for heaven and immortal glory. But he is the bullseye. He is the target. He is the one that we are to be trying to pattern after. This is why the Apostle Paul would say, amen, to the churches, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I cease to follow Christ, you cease to follow me. You cease to follow me if I'm not following Christ. But we're to follow Christ. And Paul was a great example to the household of faith. He was a great example to the believers. He was a great example to the churches. He had the care of the churches. Amen. He's a faithful servant unto God in those things. But he was a Christ. He was a Christ. And if he ever faltered, if he ever failed, if he ever shipwrecked, it wasn't that he should take them down. Amen. They should discard him. Keep looking to Christ. Amen. Keep looking to the Lord. Stand in awe. Stand in awe of God. And this is what we do when we truly see God's creation. When we truly see that there has to be Creator God. When we truly see the divine working and providence of God in our lives, where God delivers us multiple times over and over and over. Amen. Where God is our refuge daily. Amen. God has been and is our refuge daily. Thus far, the Lord has led us on. Amen. Brother and sister, the Lord has been with you all the days of your life. Amen. He's kept you. He's watched over you. Oh, he has protected you. Amen. The Lord is our all. We should stand in awe of him. We should stand in utter amazement of the glory and of the superiority of God. Now, we can't comprehend all that. Oh, I know and understand. We can't even get a little measure. Amen. To really realize, amen, of God and of God's greatness. Oh, but I believe one day we will. I believe in that resurrection day. Amen. That we will, and we'll praise him as we ought. But now, though, amen, we need, amen, to stand in awe of him as much as possible. Amen. Through meditating, spiritual meditation upon him. Amen. Of seeing him. Of pondering him. We see him in his word. God has shown us his nature, his character in his word. Oh, we could talk so much, amen, about the nature of God that is revealed to us from the Scriptures. Amen. And it's very simple. Amen. Even the nature of God, of things that God cannot do because of His nature. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. God cannot sin. God cannot swear by any greater than Himself that He has sworn by His own name, because there is none greater than Him. God is immutable. God cannot change. Amen. Well, and the Bible tells us of all of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that God can and does do. But the Bible also lets us know, because of God's nature, these things that I just went over that He can't do. Amen. That it keeps Him from doing. Amen. Because of His nature, it's not in Him to do it. It's not in God. It's not in Him to do that. In every good and perfect gift come from above, from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God isn't even thinking about changing. There's no changing with God. We can't quite grasp that, because we are changing creatures. We have our time changes. Oh, but God is not affected with time and space. God feels time and space. He's before time, He's in time, and He'll be after time. Oh, the greatness, the fullness of God. Stand in awe. Stand in awe of God and sin not. You know, that's real simple. You know, the more that we stand in awe of God, the more we meditate on God and His Word, the more we see the beauty and the holiness of God, the more we ponder, the more we consider of God and His greatness, I tell you, the less sinning will do. Amen. I believe that. The less sinning will do. Well, I hope if you don't think that you'll consider thinking it. Amen. That the Lord will bless you to get a handle on that. I fully believe. Well, you know, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. I don't think the scripture would be any plainer. Stand in awe and sin not. I'll stand by that. I believe the more you stand in awe of God, the less sinning you'll do. I didn't say you wouldn't sin. I said the less. God knows we need to do less. Amen. We need to do less sinning. We need to do more of the work. A more of a doer of the work. Observe to do all that is written in His law. If we offend in the least part, we're guilty of the whole. And we've all offended in the least part. We're guilty of all of us. Oh, but thank God. That's why I love the biblical truth of grace. Oh, that's why I love the biblical truth of the divine purpose of God and all the working of God and a foreknown and predestinated and called and justified and glorified. I love those biblical doctrines. For in them I see a great hope. I see a great glimpse of being able, amen, to finally be in heaven immortal glory. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, one day if I don't see the face of Jesus, you're looking at the most disappointed man that will ever be. Oh, but these wonderful Bible truths, amen, cause me from time to time to feel, and right now I'm trying by the help and grace of God and by the Spirit of God, and to preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And if I got a gift to try to exercise it, I'll feel close to heaven's gate. Oh, God knows I feel enough closeness to hell's door. Amen. But sometimes, Brother Kevin, amen, we feel to be close to heaven's gate. I want to tell you, Jesus, amen, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God, He is our access unto the Father. He is our access. He is our entrance. He is our great entrance into that upper and better world. And if we stand in awe of these great truths, if we stand in awe of these wonderful Bible doctrines of the greatness of God, and sin not, then what does He say in the next expression, the sentence? It don't end. He says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Sealed. Be still before the Lord. Be still in your meditation. You know, the world's meditation involves all of this, you know, stance and movement of the body and the proper hand placing and all, you know, the Bible don't teach me on none of that. Amen. None of that Mid-Eastern type stuff that the world thinks on meditation. Amen. I tell you what, this Bible exercise of meditation, it is a spiritual work. Amen. It is spiritual. It is from within. Amen. A mind to ponder, a mind to reflect, a mind to think, a mind to desire, a mind to delight. Amen. In the law of God and in God Himself, and also to petition Him when we have thought upon Him and upon His greatness, and when we have acknowledged Him, then we can move on. Amen. In the exercise of it, of prayer, of making our petition, or of making our request known unto God. Oh, but we always need, first and foremost, amen, coming before the throne of grace. And of course, not to be hypocritical about it, but to really to feel it, and that we need God's grace and God's help and God's motivation to do it. But we certainly need to feel poor and needy. We need to feel as though beggars at mercy's door. Oh, I tell you, if we could just have that mindset that we are as beggars at mercy's door each and every day, it would help us a lot. Amen. It would help us a whole lot. Oh, to think and to stand in awe of God. And now here, as the psalmist says, commune. Commune with your own heart. This is meditation. Commune with your own heart. Amen. Reflect inward. Look upon. Ponder your ways. Ponder. Ponder your actions. Think upon what you've done, what you've said, what your thoughts, what your desires. Think upon it. But in light of what thus saith the words of God. And of course, a great and wonderful verse, and it is a great verse. Amen. To memorize, it's a great verse of the 19th Psalm, the 14th verse, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, what wonderful words to live by. Let the words, this is a prayer. This is a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. See, I told you this is a inward, this is a spiritual, amen, exercise. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Well, brothers and sisters, if the meditations of our heart are in line and acceptable in God's sight, I want to tell you, the more our words are going to be in line, the more our words will surely be acceptable. If our meditations, if our thoughts, if our ponderings are distracted or influenced or cultivated or stirred by the world and its influences, it begins to spill over from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Well, I want to tell you, garbage in, garbage out. But amen, to delight in the law of God, to delight in the things of God, standing in awe of God, amen, and feeding ourselves with His Word, reminding ourselves of God's Word, and thinking upon the goodness of the Lord. And you've heard me say this before, the goodness of the Lord leadeth us to repentance. When you think upon and ponder and meditate upon the goodness of the Lord, it will move you, amen, to a change of mind upon things that you need to change your mind upon, to turn, a turning of a mindset whereby conversion can come about from and cause a change of walk. An individual won't have a change of walk unless they got a change of mind. Amen. Remember, repentance is always before conversion. I'm not talking about regeneration. Amen. But repentance, and it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us to repentance. If we reflect upon, if we meditate upon the goodness of the Lord, it will lead us. Amen. It calls us to want to get closer to the Lord and live closer and be more obedient to His word and to have an obedient ear to our reprover. I tell you, the word of God is a reprover. Amen. It's a great reprover. And all this the scripture teaches us. Amen. That we should have an obedient ear to the reprover. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How sweet and how wonderful that is. Notice Psalm 143. This is another Psalm of David. It would just be good to start with verse 1. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. No man can justify his ways before the Lord. I mean, that's a plain teaching right here. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. I ain't talking about not being justified by the shed blood of Christ and fit for heaven, mortal glory. It's just talking about we are not justified by works in the sight of God. Our being declared, amen, just by works is in the sight of men. So this is, I believe, the context of this verse. There's no problem with this verse. It's no contradiction. Verse 3 says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse. This is another word that we don't use very much in our vocabulary today. This is a good old English word, to muse. This, in this line of meditation, to muse, to ponder, to consider. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And when you remember the faithfulness, when you remember the goodness of God in days past, and meditate upon the many victories that God has given, then it'll bless you to stretch forth your hands unto the Lord. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Meditating on the Lord, meditating on His word, considering, pondering the greatness of God, standing in awe of God, praying to God, confessing that we are as a beggar at mercy's door. Oh, certainly it will bless us to have a great thirst as we drink of that water of the Lord. It's just a continuous cycle. You know, you thirst after water because you've had water. Think about that. You thirst after water because by nature, your body, your mind, you have an understanding of water. You've experienced water, so therefore your body thirsts after it. I tell you, the more that you experience the goodness of God in meditation and the greatness of God and recognizing it and pouring yourself before Him and God blessing you, it's just a cycle. You'll just thirst after Him more and more, and He'll fill you more and more. Over and over and over. In Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, it's a prophetic I believe it's speaking of the day of Christ, speaking of the day when the Lord came here to this earth and He established and set up the New Testament church. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Oh, brothers and sisters. We have a strong city. I tell you, this city that Christ built, and this temple, He will build a temple. He will sit on it. He will bear the glory. That's what old Brother Zechariah prophesied. He shall build the temple. He shall sit on the throne. He shall bear the glory. Jesus said, I will build my church. He has built this city. Amen. The city of the great King. Amen. He has built, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Amen. For strongholds. Amen. Salvation, deliverances. Amen. Our walls, our bulwarks. Amen. Will be the deliverances of God. God, amen, has been a great deliverer. God has been a mighty provider for this great city. Amen. That He has built and He has established right here. Amen. Upon this earth. Notice what verse 3 said, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. You know, this is why in this great city, this is why in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has established and set up and gave us the New Testament pattern to come together on every Lord's Day. In particular, that is the least. That is the very, we have other services, and they're great, and we can have those. Israel had many holy convocations, many special times through the years. But there was that regularly, one day a week, and it was the seventh day. It was on Saturday then. But we recognize the New Testament pattern of the first day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the day that we come to hear His Word read, that we come to hear it expounded, that we hear the sense of it, that we sing praises, that we have public prayer, that we pray in our heart to God, that we come collectively as a local household of faith. Oh, why? To have this perfect peace or this mature peace. This mature peace. I believe that's what the sense of this word perfect will keep thee in perfect peace or a mature peace. Not a haphazardous peace. Not a sporadic. Not a sporadic peace, but a mature peace. An abiding peace. A continuing peace. How do we have that abiding and continuous and mature peace? Oh, it builds us up when we sit under the sound of the gospel, when we hear the greatness of God. You see, this whole time has been a time that you have for you to be thinking upon what I'm preaching on, what, for you to be pondering, for you to be considering the scriptures that we're reading, that we're talking about this morning, that it helps with an abiding peace, a peace that lingers, a peace that is substantial, a peace that is sufficient. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's what we're talking about. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Amen. There's the key. Whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Verse 4 says. In other words, keep this mind. Keep this mind to have this mature peace. To have this mature peace. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Lord God. Remember the lessons months ago that we tried to preach and brought out from Exodus chapter 6 about where God spoke to Moses and told him about how that God had not appeared unto Israel yet as Jehovah, as Lord. He had only appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But now He would appear unto them as Jehovah, Lord God. In other words, he was going to, in that sense, to take Israel as he took her, amen, as a husband would take a bride, and that she would call him Lord. Remember, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, capital, every one of those letters, capital, Jehovah, Lord, Lord God, is everlasting strength. He is our Lord and Master. Remember, Jesus told those disciples, ye have called me Lord and Master, and you say well, for so I am. I am your Master and Lord. And that's what he was going to do to Israel. He was going to be manifested unto them as Lord, as their Master, as a husband unto them. He had only appeared in time past as El Shaddai. God first appeared in Genesis chapter 17 to Abraham in that sense as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But then he told Moses in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 6, amen, that he would make himself known unto them as Jehovah God. Oh, so this is in the same sense as Isaiah is taking it. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And I'm just going to read these verses. In Philippians chapter 4, and I believe we need these. I'm just going to just have time to just read these, and Lord willing, we're going to close. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that's going to come under the category of meditation, that sixth verse. And the peace of God, here we are about, we just talked about peace. That mature peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Remember I spoke about honest, about looking with an honest eye. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Well, why am I not surprised at the next word? Why am I not surprised? Do! And the God of peace shall be with you. Notice that. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. God, I pray, will bless these thoughts, these scriptures, unto our hearts and minds this morning. I pray that your hearts will be stirred along this subject matter, and you will give it great, great consideration. Lord bless you. I appreciate each and every one of you, and certainly love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll select a song. We'll stand together. Certainly the open door of the church is published.